In a world where boring sports talk has taken over the airwaves, breaking the mold of basic opinionated sports talk.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
They're Reggie, uncensored and off the chain.
I'm sorry, I don't know what just happened.
No Boundaries Sports Talk Radio with your hosts, Derek Fugers.
But to be the man, you gotta beat the man, and I'm staying woo, right here.
And Craig Wiley,
the cream of the crop, and there is no one that does it better.
For raw, uncut sports on a different level than you're used to. So grab some snacks, turn up the volume, and enjoy sports with no boundaries.
Nobody does it better.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, High C. You know what today is. It's Thursday. That means we got a little No Boundaries sports talk action about to come your way. Just got to get a couple shout-outs out the way. Shout-out to our boys over at Poor Decisions and Bamboozers for letting us use the studio over here. Shout-out to Andrew's Glass Services. If you need any kind of glass work for your bathrooms, for your shower enclosures, maybe you need a new mirror, any of that stuff, reach out to Andrew Glass Services. And Road Dog Joe Coffee, for all my coffee drinkers out there, it's our boy Soda. He's got a new venture. If you like that stuff, go check it out, roaddogjoecoffee.com. Get you a bag. Shipping is included. And last but not least, because I'm dropping it on you guys because we got a live show today, details coming soon. Be on the lookout, April 20th.
420.
420. What's Dragon that? Heads has an event going on. It's on a Saturday, and STLR will be in the building. Me and this lovely guy across from me, who you guys know as one, Derek Fugers. How you doing today, my man?
I'm beautiful, man. I'm beautiful. It's been a great week at work.
I'm pretty sure when James Blunt wrote that song, he was speaking about
you're
you.
You're beautiful.
I'm just going to throw it out there.
You're beautiful. You got to stop doing stuff like that to me because the motherfuckers don't want to hear me sing. And
they
if
do,
you
though.
Drop a dime song
they
like
do.
That.
They do.
I'm wailing.
I did have a couple people tell me they got a huge boner from hearing your sneaker reel today.
Well, you know, that's what it's all about, man.
And if you missed it, it's probably because you didn't check it out on our wall. Go check it out. STLR Media.
Well, if you missed it, you
Facebook.
Go check it out, but you're also going to get a little bit of here right now, here, the live action
oh, yeah.
of it. You know?
They love
so,
the sneaker news.
But, you know, sneaker news, obviously, me, Craig, and our buddy Neil, shout out Andrew's
Glass
Services, you know, we all went to a sneaker show, you know, and I wanted to bring this up, you know, because sneaker shows aren't the same.
Slightly disappointing.
It's a little bit disappointing because it's like everybody's got the same shit at the table. There's no options anymore, and mainly that's because
it's almost like who got the best price.
Well, it's that's exactly what it is because
for
Nike,
the pair of shoes that was worn one time.
Yeah, exactly, only one time. Nike is obviously flooding the market with certain shoes, so these resellers are having to go for specific pairs of shoes.
Not them trophy rooms.
No, not them trophy rooms. Hey, shout out to Marcus Jordan on trophy rooms because he did an honest release again this time. I'm talking tens of thousands of people were outside. The line at Trophy Room in Orlando was wrapped around the block. People waited in the line for 3 to 4 hours to pick up their pairs. But it was a successful launch for him. A lot of people got their pairs. The resale value is still through the roof for him. I think they're reselling for about $600 right now. So, but, you know, and then they dropped today on the sneaker app for a draw. I see a lot of W's on there as well. So, you know.
Nice.
I didn't try. I was driving on the road and I completely forgot. And I got the notification. And I looked and I was 10 minutes too late into the draw. So
I didn't try.
I didn't really care.
Frankly, I'm po. I ain't got no money right now, or else I would have definitely tried to hit on them. And I wouldn't even have tried to hit on them for the resale. I would have tried to hit on them because
I would have kept them.
They would have been.
I would have kept them.
They would have been on feet for me.
I really like Marcus Jordan. I mean, I know he's done some questionable things in the past for the sneaker releases that he's had. You know. But at the same time, I was a big fan of him when he was at UCF. Knowing that he was the son of Michael Jordan was probably the main reason I liked him. But I missed on every single pair of Jordans that he's released. And it's really disappointing. I hit him up on Twitter hoping to get some type of reply. Just kind of poke some fun. Motherfucker don't care. You
listen,
know what I'm saying?
The next release will be our release.
I hope so.
Everything's gonna be better by then.
I hope so.
Fingers crossed.
But you know, back to the sneaker show again. No options, man. Everybody had the same price, or everybody had the same shoe. And again, it's like that because Nike's flooding the market for sneakers, and they're trying to kill the resale game.
Well, and I had a conversation about it with a couple of people, and I was like, look, because Brian, the guy I work with, you know, he kind of is into sneakers and stuff. And I told him, he's like, you know, that I went to the show. He's like, yeah, I was thinking about, I almost took my son there. He's like, but I knew how it was going to be. If I went there, he was going to want some shoes. I was like, look, bro. I was like, you're glad you didn't go? I said, because it would have been like, what was it, 20, 25 bucks to get in?
20 bucks.
And I said, there was probably there was a fraction of the vendors that there were there a couple years ago when we went. And literally, only thing that anybody had was what came out within the last 2-3 months.
Yeah.
Like, there was nothing. Like, I think one person might have had the Chunky Monkeys. But remember how we used to see, like, you know, people have the Yeezy Red Octobers.
Yeah,
and stuff like real grails.
Because it's all business now, man. People, the sneaker game has gotten so crazy for these sneaker stores that they have to sell those shoes. You know what I'm saying? They have to get rid of them because the pricing isn't there. You, just like you said, all we've seen was shoes from the last 2-3 months. That's because that's literally what Nike's trying to do. It's either that or what I've been saying for the longest time. Nike's going to jack up these prices on these shoes, man, because if they're seeing these people paying $500, $600 for a resale pair of shoes, they're going to start raising the price. They're already raising the price on them almost every single year. Jordan 1s used to be $160. Now they're almost $200.
Inflation. I mean, everything goes up.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's just like we all know that those shoe prices for what they're making them for isn't going up.
Yeah, but when the Jordan 1s were 160, milk was probably like $2.50 a gallon. I mean,
I understand.
Everything goes up, we get smacked across the board.
But, you know, but other than that, we got the Jordan 9 Powder Blues coming out this Saturday. Really big shoe in a lot of people's eyes. That UNC colorway always goes, you know, it's similar to this, what I got on my feet here. That UNC colorway obviously always sells out just because of the color itself. And the Jordan 9s aren't a hype shoe, but they still sell out.
The two most popular colorways, I think, in Jordan are going to be the Carolina and always the Breads.
Yeah, the Chicago Blue colorway for sure. But, you know, those are coming out this Saturday. Gonna try for my boy Neo. I probably end up getting the pair at UTC. I usually do.
Awesome.
And then March 30th, you know, you got the Bob Marley Adidas, the OG Adidas coming out, which I love.
Those are the shell tops.
They kind of are. They're kind of the shell top. They're more of a old running shoe.
They don't have the shell top on the front. Okay.
But they're very very similar to the old Adidas running shoe.
And then the Adidas stripes are the Jamaican colors.
Yeah. So those are a shoe that I'm really looking forward to just because I'm a big Bob Marley fan. So those are coming out on March 30th on a Saturday as well. I'll be in Georgia when those happening. But, you know, some good shoes coming out. You know, we told you guys in the past we don't want to just rely solely on Jordans. We got a little... It still checks over stripes, of course.
I think we need to drop another list soon, too.
Yeah, I think we will.
Like some good throwback retro, like, yeah, stuff we respect that we liked when we were younger.
Absolutely.
People like hearing about that
stuff.
We'll
have to throw it together for next week's show. March Madness. Woo. It's in effect, baby. Did you fill out any brackets?
I think I got one on ESPN.
Think you got one?
I got one on ESPN. I think I got one on CBS.
Well, I'm happy to say I still have two perfect brackets. My man Craig just said a certain team just busted his.
Duquesne
is... I
which
picked,
is not
okay.
Which is not spelled house.
No, I know. It looks like Duquesne's, but it's Duquesne. The reason why I picked Duquesne in two brackets is because I got the news 2 days ago that their coach is retiring at the end of the season. So I thought that was going to give the team a little bit of extra oomph to want to win a game, at least one game in the tournament for the coach. And those two brackets did come out for me on top, and I'm 100% on those two brackets. I'm 90% in the other two that I have, or the other three that I have, because I didn't pick Duquesne. And I'm like 44% because I missed the Duquesne pick. I missed the Michigan State pick. And I'm pretty sure I missed the Oregon pick in that one. But every other one, you know, When I'm filling out my bracket, and this is kind of what I wanted to get into, just give you a gist of how I fill out my bracket. You can't always pick the best team. You got to expect an upset somewhere.
No, yeah, there's going to be some somewhere.
You know, and one thing that I do love that they give you when you're filling out the bracket is they give you the seed history. Oh, number three seeds are 111-3 versus number 13 seeds. So it's like that's one thing I do love about it. And you got to have to take that in consideration. The one thing I took into consideration with Oregon over South Carolina is at least one 11 seed has beaten a 5 seed for the past 5 years in the tournament. And I know you, it's hard to kind of base off of that, but at the same time, that's why you're allowed to make up to 25 brackets. So you could adjust your second bracket. And I know you're not, I'm not sitting here trying to win money. But at the end of the day, everybody does want a freaking perfect bracket. That's what they're aiming for. And we all know that Warren Buffett isn't out and about giving people, offering somebody $1 billion for a perfect bracket. Who knows? Maybe it's still happening. But at the same time, that's what we're striving for. We're striving to get a perfect bracket. I don't think it'll ever happen. I don't think a perfect bracket will ever come into our existence. Do you think? I just think there's too many scenarios for it to go elsewhere. And there's always that any given Sunday, and I know they're not playing on Sunday. It's a Thursday and Friday. I get that. But I like to give it a call at that any given Sunday just because, just like in boxing, you have a fighter's chance. It's the same thing in any other sport. You have a fighter's chance for any team. You got to the dance for a reason. You know, your team is good enough to get to the dance, and it doesn't matter. And me and my buddy, my coworkers, we were talking about this a couple weeks ago. They were asking, why do you think there's so many upsets? It's just because the talent level is so good everywhere. These kids, yeah, just because they go to a school like Duquesne doesn't mean that they weren't good enough to go to school like FSU, or they just, one, their recruiting wasn't good enough for whoever was pitching these kids, and two, you know what I'm saying, something could have happened to where they freaking lose a scholarship to a certain school and they have to take a backup school.
Well, certain things also happen where, you know, there's so many teams. You don't play everybody, so you get smacked in the mouth by something you're not used to seeing, and sometimes it's hard to adjust. I'm actually in my ESPN one. It looks like I'm undefeated. It looks like I'm still 100% right now.
Okay. Okay, so we got three perfect brackets in this room. Get on my level, son.
So, because I did pick Duquesne.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And which I almost did this morning, too, but I second-guessed myself.
So there's one bracket that I did strictly off of points per game and defensive points per game. So if there's a few games where I picked a lot of upsets, and because that team, like James Madison. James Madison's playing Wisconsin. I picked James Madison in two of my brackets.
Bam. I want to throw something out there right quick since we're talking about March Madness.
Go ahead.
Earlier today, if you guys were watching our reels, I put out there a team that I feel that you should put into your parlay if you wanted to win, because you know if you're picking today, you know you're picking Arizona. I know you're picking Carolina. I know you better be picking Iowa State, because that's my team to make a deep run, and I actually have them winning in this bracket.
I got them in the Final Four.
I like what they've been doing.
They got a good defense.
They got a really good defense. I told everybody, put Oregon in your parlay. 87-73. Final, I was correct.
I told you, baby. Come on, man. Come on. You got to account for those 11 seeds, man. You got to account for you people. Another thing people got to understand, just because they're 11 seed doesn't mean that they weren't a good team. They just how the sandwich was made for them.
They could have had a couple conference losses that just
Or they lost early in their conference championship. Or the
Oregon's
final.
Usually good in basketball and in football. So, I mean, you know, they're a team that they got to play Creighton. Creighton's been balling.
Creighton's good.
I don't know if they'll get past them, but, you know, hey, I was right, though.
I like your style, baby. I like your style. Three perfect brackets in this room. Do we not know what the fuck we're talking about? If you're not listening to this fucking show, you need to start listening to this fucking show.
Whoop, there it is.
That's all I can tell you. But my question to you, okay, well, first off, you didn't answer. I didn't, because I kept going. Do you think we'll ever see a perfect bracket?
I don't think there's ever been a. Has there ever
there's
been?
There's never been a perfect bracket.
I don't think we. Maybe. With AI and stuff now, maybe.
You might be right. You might be right. The computer, the AI might run a million different bracket ideas in its freaking mind and possible. But I don't know, man. Even then, it's just like, it's so hard to tell because of the fact that there's just, it's that fighter's chance, man. That you, any team has a chance to win against any team. North Carolina could go out. We've seen a 16 seed beat a number one seed. It's happened last year. It happened a couple years ago. It happened to Purdue. It happened to Virginia. You know, you could come out and be playing the best basketball ever, but that first game in the tournament, you could lay a goose egg from the three-point line, and the other team is just making everything, and that's the end of your story, plain and simple. So I just – it's hard for the AI, in my opinion, to account for that. And maybe it does. Maybe it can. Maybe it's smart enough too. I mean, Elon Musk said in 30 years, AI will be smarter than us, which is wild. But I don't know. I don't think we'll ever see a perfect bracket in the March Madness. If we do, I think it'll be one for the books. I tell you that right now. Because in my opinion, for that to happen, it would have to be the favorites to constantly win. It would have to be the one and two seeds taking care of business all the way to the Final Four.
Well, the thing with the brackets where we could possibly get a perfect one is because you're just picking a winner, not picking against the spread.
Truth.
So all the AI has to do is, I mean, and it would take a probably a lot of emails since you only get 25 brackets.
Entries, yeah.
But there may be a perfect bracket with AI.
The only way that you could, in my opinion, like do that is you'd have to make like a million different brackets because you'd have to constantly contradict each game that you think is going to be close. Like realistically, let's be real. A 1 versus 16 seed, a 1 seed versus 16 seed is my opinion is going to be a lot higher of a possibility for a 1 seed to win that game. So 95% of the time that one seed's going to win. So you could kind of take the consideration later down the road that, all right, let's just say a number one 16 seed does happen to beat. That's what one time you have to take in consideration. And you'd have to just counterset each bracket to what the last one that you made.
Yep.
And even consider the ones that you did back in the day.
It would be hard.
It would be very hard. But then an AI, which could calculate shit like that, but that's another reason why you're only allowed to have 25 brackets.
But do I think human error person picks one? I don't know.
I think with human or with us, with man, it's just we overthink shit. We like my coworker, he's got three brackets perfect right now. He's never done it before, and allegedly haven't done it before. But he told me he's never done it. I was like, that could work out perfect for you, bro, because you won't overthink things. You won't overthink, oh, shit, well, Duke did lose to this team, and then this team did beat Duke a second time. But you're just picking at that point. And in my opinion, that's what I think it's going to have to take someone like my coworker to just randomly pick the teams. And his first bracket he filled out, I looked at it, and I told him, I was like, you have some good picks because that could possibly happen. You know what I mean? Talk about Texas A&M. Texas A&M is a 9 seed, but they're one of the best offensive rebounding teams in the nation. And he picked them to win. And I told him that. I was like, that's a good pick just because of that fact right there. One of the best offensive rebounding teams in the nation. So my next question to you is, what high seed, not high C.
Okay.
What high seed.
I got one for you.
Do you think would be knocked out first? And we're talking about a one or a two seed. I don't really care about three or fours. Mainly one or twos.
All right, well, then that messes me up a little bit because I was going to say Kansas, but they're a four seed. But they have...
They just lost one of their best players to injury.
And they don't have very much depth. So there's somebody who I kind of expected not to make a deep run at all.
I want to say North Carolina in the sense of I've seen RJ Davis have bad games. I've seen Armando Bacot have bad games.
That's possible. Houston could be one of those teams because they didn't look that good against Iowa.
There's one thing about Houston. I could possibly name a player from almost every top seed team in the tournament. Craig Wiley Jr., I cannot name one person
from that Houston team. Is Kentucky a two seed?
They're a three seed. And in my one perfect bracket, I got Houston winning the whole thing. So if Houston loses, I'm fucked.
Is Puka a top seed, or they're like 8 or 9 or something like that, aren't they?
Duke?
Yeah.
No, they're a three.
They're a three?
They're a three seed, yeah.
That's another team I could see getting.
Yeah, absolutely. Duke does not look good. They haven't looked good, honestly, since that second loss to North Carolina. They don't look. They were arguing with each other. The team itself, the coach really doesn't look like he's got everything in control.
Since Coach K retired.
Oh yeah, they haven't been remotely close to. Krzyzewski. They got a really good class coming in next year, though. They have a really good class coming in next year.
You know who looked like trash this year? Who didn't even make the tournament? Miami.
Because Larinaga just ain't the option, bro. We need to get him out of there.
Shout out to Tim on the Facebook Live. Shout out to Katrina on the Facebook Live. Hope y'all are doing good.
Hopefully everybody's got their brackets filled out, man. Because, you know, I feel like – I think there's 2.96 million brackets, perfect brackets still left. And I'm pretty sure – we still got some games about to start. I believe Duke plays tonight. And I know North Carolina already won. They got the big victory. But like I said, there's still – no, I'm sorry, not Duke. Kentucky plays tonight at 7 o'clock. So there's still a lot of
I do feel like Kentucky's going to get out of the first round, but I think they'll make an early exit. I don't think they're going to make it to the I don't know if they'll make it.
I don't know. Kentucky's good, man.
They are, but, man, they've been suspect, too.
All right.
They got beat by Tennessee.
In my one bracket.
In the SEC tournament.
In my one – wait, what happened? Auburn beat Florida in the SEC tournament. Yeah, Auburn won the SEC tournament.
I didn't say win it. I said they got knocked out.
Oh, in the tournament. Okay. Yeah. I thought you said final for some reason. My bad. But in my one bracket that I picked strictly off of like points per game and defense, I got Florida going to the Final Four. And I say that because, not because my brother's a Florida fan, but Craig.
I'm liking Auburn.
Craig, listen.
Nice run.
Listen, I get that. But Florida beat the shit out of them by 20 first game of the season. Auburn beat them in the second game by 20, but Florida beat them by 20 in the first game of the season, number one. Number two, Florida's offense scores 89 points a game, bro. Almost 90 points. And their defense isn't bad. Their defense only gives up like 69, 71 points a game.
They might go. But I do got somebody for you guys for tomorrow. So make sure you guys check out our reels on the page because I'm going to drop another pick for you guys who I think is going to be an upset.
Make sure you follow us on the STLR Media Facebook page, on Twitter.
And here's the thing.
Instagram.
They're not from a major conference either.
St. Mary's.
Nope.
I got St. Mary's going pretty far in one bracket.
I really only got this team maybe getting out of this round, maybe the next round.
Matter of fact, since
but it's just somebody who I got for a parlay.
Since
for
you brought up Kansas, when I got the news that one of Kansas' best players was out, I went and changed them to lose in the first round in two brackets.
It can
happen. Well, listen, man, you're the fourth seed. You're playing the 13th seed. And it's just, you know, when if you get a 13 seed like James Madison, who's a 12 seed, who's 31-3 in the season, it's hard to not want to pick them.
So don't say nothing because I don't want to ruin my reel for tomorrow.
Okay. But, I like that a lot. But
I think they're going to be the upset tomorrow.
I got them in two brackets upsetting, actually. I like that a lot.
Them boys look good.
Give me some.
Them boys look good against
and you know what? And I'm going to give you a little bit. The one player that they have, I'm not going to say his name because I don't want to give it away.
The JUCO transfer,
bro,
I know what you're talking about.
He gets to the basket whenever the fuck he wants, bro. He gets to the – and I'm going to tell you another team that – and they're a three seed. They're going to go far. Illinois. But Illinois. They're going to run into Iowa State. That's why – the one thing I don't have them going far. But Illinois, that Terrence Shannon Jr. kid
– he's a beast.
Beat a rape allegation, by the way. I don't know if you even know that. I don't even know why I brought that up. I'm sorry. I shouldn't even put that in there. I don't know why. I just saw it the other day. I'm sorry. He's a fucking great player. Talk about a kid who scored 105 points in the Big Ten tournament. 31 points a game. 31 points in a game. 40 points in a game. Then he got 37 in a Big Ten championship game. So watch out for Illinois.
And you know what? I know you brought that sad instance up, but
I just don't want to be like every other – media outlet like, oh, he brought him up because he's black. No, I just seen it, and I don't know, man.
No, one thing that needs to get brought up about that, though, is
he's actually suing the school, or not the school, but somebody.
These females need to check themselves before they wreck themselves, because what's going to happen with people trying to get this money grab and these fake allegations, you're going to ruin things for somebody who really happens to, and it's going to be, you know, people are going to feel like, oh, you know, somebody crying wolf again and over some fake stuff, and it really did happen. I feel like it's starting to be like a trend.
We need a law in this world where if some girl is trying to corrupt a NFL star, basketball star, baseball star, whatever the sport is, and it comes to come find out that she lied, she needs to be held responsible and she needs to be charged.
Yeah.
Because there's no way in hell
we're going to put... A lot more than what they're doing.
Yeah, well, there's no way in hell we're going to put some of these guys... And I'm not saying that some of it can't be true, because that's just not the case. Sometimes
we've seen a lot of times where it's not.
I mean, I watched Quiet on the Set and freaking didn't even know that Drake Bell was fucking molested by a producer or Nickelodeon. So, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's not act like shit doesn't happen. And I know it just said a dude on dude, but
yeah,
it's the same thing. But at the same time, these chicks need to be held responsible. And these dudes, it's all fake. If it's fake, everybody needs to be held responsible. Point blank, period.
Facts.
Going to the NBA. NBA's cooking up, man. We're getting close to the playoffs. I think we've got about 13 games left. Celtics on a 7-game winning streak. Best team in the NBA. I told y'all from the jump that they were going to be the best team in the league. Did I not, Craig Wiley? Did I not say they were going to be the best team in the league at the beginning of the season?
Didn't they lose to Phoenix?
No, they didn't lose to Phoenix. We whooped their ass both games. We lost to Denver twice.
Denver, that's
fuck
who
you.
It was.
That's the
Denver.
Second best team in the West. I can't help that.
In the West.
They're the defending champions in the NBA.
All I know is you having trouble with the West side. Sound like Bad Boy Records.
I mean, we did lose to OKC. We did lose to Denver twice. We did lose to the Lakers. I mean, that. We only got 14 losses. We got 54 wins. We're working our way to 60.
Y'all can't stop Shay.
We got a 10. Nah, bro, he's good, bro. He should. He should win MVP in my mind. He should win MVP. Because what's the definition of MVP? You, most valuable player on that team, right?
Well, you know who get MVP this week?
Who?
Grady Dick and Anthony Black.
I tell you what. One of the greatest jersey swaps we have ever seen in our lifetime. Perfect. And you know the best thing about that? You could watch the video, and Anthony Black comes up to Grady Dick, and he's like, you want to swap jerseys? And Grady Dick goes, you know what? Fuck it. And then Anthony Black runs over to the camera dude just
pulls
so they
him out.
And then they switch sides, bro. They switch sides so it could say Black Dick. Like, what? The world we're living in, bro. And then I got a list for y'all.
I feel like if you do that jersey swap, it has to be that way.
Now I got a list for y'all. I'm glad you brought that up, because now I can bring this list up. I got a list of players that Grady Dick shouldn't swap jerseys with in the future.
Okay.
James Harden.
Harden Dick.
Harden Dick. All right. Damn it, I forgot the other two. Fuck, man. I know James Harden was good, though. James Harden, Harden Dick, yeah. But fuck, there was a couple other ones that I knew it was good. I fucking forgot. I have to go back to the list, but I don't know where it's at. It was on the Twitter feed.
You could find it and make me a reel about
it. We'll make
it
a reel. Yeah, we'll make a reel about it for sure. For sure. For sure. We'll give you the what jerseys not to swap with Grady Dick on, for sure. Now we give you one, James Harden, Harden Dick. That's all you need to know.
Him and Devin White could swap
jerseys.
White
Dick? White, we got Black Dick, now we got White Dick. Hell yeah, baby, the world we live in. That's what the fuck I'm talking about.
Is there a baseball player with the last name Small?
Dude, that'd be awesome.
Or Huge.
Huge Dick. Dick Small. Small Dick. But what's the definition of MVP?
The most valuable player.
Most valuable player on that team. And if you take away Shai Gilgeous from the Oklahoma City Thunder, they're the best team in the West right now. Which I know that's a stipulation for certain awards. Best team in the league. Best player on that team, that usually smells MVP to me.
I know it's not LeBron James.
If Luka's team wasn't competing in the play-in tournament, I'd say it'd be Luka. Because that dude is playing on an unfair... That dude is a cheat code.
He a beast.
Luka Doncic is the... Might be one of the greatest... Between him and Joker, we are literally seeing two of the greatest European players to ever grace to the court.
I agree.
Of the NBA. I mean, Joker might go down as one of the greatest centers of all time. Why I tell you this, just strictly off of his ability to do things that other centers can't. His vision on the court, his passing skills.
Snapping.
The dude is so unathletic, too. You know what I'm saying? And I say that graciously because you got to be athletic to be in the NBA. But he looks unathletic being athletic.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Like Escalade.
Yes, 100%. Matter of fact, that's literally who Joker is. Joker is fucking Escalade with a lot less weight. Like, that's just the pure facts. Escalade could dunk. Joker barely can. Didn't me get an argument about this?
We didn't get an argument.
But we had a debate?
No, we...
I was like, Joker has 15 dunks this season. 15 total dunks. And the motherfucker's 7 foot. Who the fuck do you know who's 7 foot and can't dunk?
Probably a lot of people.
Nikolai Joker, that's fucking who. I know his name's not Joker, but I don't know how to spell it or say it.
Jokic.
Jokic? All right. And I know Nurkic, Jokic, they're all fucking very close to the same. But
it's one of those Polish sounding names or whatever.
Defensive player of the year. And I'll bring this up because this is a debate me and my coworkers had.
Before we get into Wimby real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
You did bring up my boy Luka. Anybody who could look that good wearing... Like
77?
Wearing a premier offensive tackle number.
You're wearing Casey Gross's number? 77?
For real.
And you're balling in 77?
Dropping dimes, dropping threes.
There's two players in the NBA who really do amaze me. Luka Doncic is one of them. And quite frankly...
Bam Adebayo.
No. Quite frankly, it's Joker, man. Just because, Craig, if you sit down and watch that motherfucker play, he's just so unorthodox. He's just an unorthodox player. His shot, everything, bro. It's so unorthodox, but it just works for him.
It does.
It works. Like,
if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
And I'm not saying LeBron and Kevin Durant. Like, Kevin Durant's mid range is probably one of the best mid ranges I've ever seen. It's almost automatic every time, Craig. So smooth. He's 7 foot tall. His jump shot is so high that nobody can really get to the top of his jump shot.
If we did a 1v1 tournament, it would be hard to bet against KD.
Yeah, I completely agree. I completely agree. But defensive player of the year, will we see a rookie win defensive player of the year?
I seen a meme with his stats on it and the amount of blocks and stuff that he's gotten. I don't care if you've been in the league 17 years or if you've been in the league for 7 months because it's your rookie year. If you're making the impact that you're making, I mean, let's just be honest. His wingspan is what, like 8 foot?
8 foot. 8'3", actually, I think.
When you have a wingspan like that, and you take a large step and go forward, you're either going to get some blocks or you're going to alter somebody's shot. He is a defensive nightmare because literally he could take damn near 2 steps and be anywhere on the court if he's in the paint.
All right.
Dude can be like on the baseline and take 3 steps and probably be at half court.
Okay. So the reason why I even bring this up is because my coworker's a Spurs fan. All right. I've never seen a Spurs fan argue against their player not get defensive player of the year.
Who else would you give it to? Who does he give it to?
Rudy Gobert.
Who?
Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert is really good. He might be. Rudy Gobert is having a great defensive season.
Rudy Gobert, who wants to say his name fancy because he's from France.
Yes.
No.
No, bro. It's Terry fucking Henry.
It's Terry Henry.
It's Terry Henry. All right, don't.
It's Rudy Gobert.
Terry Henry.
I don't shop at Target. I shop at Target. No.
It's Gobert.
It's not Ralph Lauren. It's Ralph Lauren. I know how to read. Shout out to my boy Floyd Mayweather for teaching me.
But a lot of people are saying that you can't give it to Wimby because they're one of the top 3 worst team in the league. But then again, It is not a team. It's not a team award.
So
it is an individual player award.
So because his team has no offensive firepower outside of him, he can't get the defensive player of the year. That's
Craig. I'm going to tell you something right now.
He should be able to get rookie of the year and defensive player of the year.
That's what I'm at betting on. Victor Wembanyama has more blocks and steals than any of the last 9 defensive player of the year winners. How the fuck do you not give the defensive player of the year to the dude who has more steals and more blocks than the past 9 winners of said award?
And that's the thing. He has an 8'3 wingspan, so all he does is put his hand out. He's in a block.
And then my coworker, I haven't seen him lock anybody down besides Chet. And I'm like, bro, you just answered your own question. Yeah, Embiid might have gave him 70. But, bro, he's a rookie. He's 215 pounds. Let him get some meat on the bones. Let him get some time to actually get the game in his grasp, which he already does. His IQ is so high. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, so you're telling me he locked down another rookie? Oh, so when he's playing against somebody who's at the level of him and not been in the league for 10 years, like Kevin Durant or Steph Curry or LeBron James or Joel Embiid, so you're telling me when he's playing up to the standard of somebody who's equivalent to him, he locks him down? And I'm like, but I was like, so you're telling me you haven't seen him lock any other position down? And I started sending him highlights of Wemby just, and he's like, people, then his argument was, certain teams are just stupid to shoot around him. Okay? What does that have to do with him?
He's doing his job, what he gets paid for.
Right now, he is the best rim protector in the NBA. That smells defensive player of the year to me.
That's literally like saying, you know what? Jerry Rice, you're not the GOAT because you went out there and caught footballs.
Yeah.
Like, the motherfucker, he got drafted to block shots and create steals with his long wingspan.
So
he's literally doing his job, and not only is he doing his job, he's doing it at a level to where he's beaten the last 9 defensive players of the year statistically.
And then I told my coworker, and I'm like, he's like, when I think of defensive player of the year, I think a lockdown player. And I'm like, Z, when Rudy Gobert won defensive player of the year, he wasn't locking people down. He was a rim protector who blocked a lot of shots. That's how he won the award. And he's like, well, when I think of lockdown, I think of players like Marcus Smart. And I'm like, Z, for a guard to win defensive player of the year, he has to lock down everybody. That's the only way he's going to get it. That's why 2 guards have ever won it, because they have to lock down.
Yeah, Jordan.
Yeah, you have to lock it down. That's what you have to do to win that award.
Who was the other guard? Kobe? Or was he considered?
Gary Payton. Maybe it wasn't 2.
Well, Gary Payton won because his nickname was the Glove.
Point guards.
He had
point guards. Steals. Only 2 point guards have won it. Marcus Smart and Gary Payton.
And guaranteed his steals were off the chain.
Yeah, same with Marcus Smart. When he won it 2 years ago, it's because he was locking people the fuck down, and he led the league in steals.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the facts. But for a big... For you to be leading the league in steals and blocks...
I think that's a strong case
That's defensive player of the year. I'm sorry to tell you that. You're not leading it in just one like Rudy Gobert was doing. So I think Victor Wembanyama has a very good chance of winning rookie of the year and defensive player of the year, and I'm not sure if that's ever been done. So we definitely have a two-headed monster in loop, because like I said, once he gets more meat on his bones and he starts developing his game a lot more than he already has, Greg Popovich is making his kid into a monster. He's had two great players to do that with, David Robinson and fucking Tim fucking Duncan.
Yeah.
So watch out for Victor Wembanyama. We might even see that motherfucker win MVP next year, Craig.
We'll see.
So
if he gets some help over there, he could be dangerous.
I want to talk about Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson real quick.
Again.
Well, just because of the fact that me and my coworkers have been talking about it all week. And, like, people really are believing that Jake Paul is going to win, bro. And I don't think there's going to be a winner. That's my whole point to it.
You should have just made a reel about this, and this is what you should have said. Hi, this is Derek Fuger from No Boundary Sports Talk. If you think remotely that this is even a real fucking fight, you probably are the same kind of person that thinks the stripper at the club likes you.
I think it's a glorified sparring fight.
It is.
And the fact that we're even going to get excited for this, rules, Ledge rules are they're wearing headgear, they're wearing 18-ounce gloves.
Real boxing match. In a real boxing match, like real as in like what Floyd Mayweather, George Foreman, and all those guys, and Mike Tyson included, Mike Tyson, Evander Holyfield rules. In a real boxing match, like Evander Holyfield versus Mike Tyson or something like that, Mike Tyson would dog walk this shit out of him. There is a story out there about one Mr. Mike Tyson when he went to prison. And Johnny Key will even tell you this. And you know, Johnny Key is our boxing enthusiast. I think he's one person that can give Max Kellerman a run for his money when it comes to talking about boxing. And I'll say that with
confidence.
100% confidence.
Confidence.
When Mike Tyson went to jail, the biggest dude in the cell block was talking shit to Mike Tyson. Rumor has it, Mike Tyson leaned over in dude's ear and says, if you try me, I will knock you the fuck out and I will fuck you till you wake up.
That's the story right there.
And nobody tried his ass.
Bro, Mike Tyson might be one of the best inside fighters with the most power that I've ever seen. So, and that's one thing that Jake Paul, if they do fight real, no headgear, regular gloves.
If Jake Paul fought Mike Tyson, no headgear, he'd probably be the next Antonio Brown after the Vontez Burfict hit.
Because, bro, they're showing Mike training. And I know he's 57 years old. I get it, bro. But if you're still training and working out, you still have power.
I don't give a damn
power,
how old
bro.
He is. If you're moving like that, I ain't fighting you.
Bro. He moves so much better than Jake
Only
Paul
way I'm
right
fighting
now.
Mike Tyson with him moving like that with a 380.
Yeah, exactly.
Or 9mm.
Facts. With fucking 15
Do
bullets.
We have a problem?
So if the rules are true and they're fighting with headgear and 18-ounce gloves, I don't give a shit. But if that's not true and they're fighting regularly with no headgear and regular gloves, Mike Tyson will knock Jake Paul out inside
Straight
two rounds.
The fuck out.
Two rounds. That's all I'm giving Jake Paul. Because Mike's counter fucking hook is gonna, and Jake might even know it's coming, but
the
bro,
uppercut ain't no joke either.
I'm telling you, bro. Mike, it's completely different when you've been doing it since you were 17 years old, like Mike Tyson has. Jake Paul's been doing this shit for 4 years.
That man had to fight with a purpose of survival.
The dude bit Evander Holyfield's ear off, bro. Like, what the fuck are we talking about?
Did you see the meme where they're face-to-face and your boy Jake Paul got, like, an earring or something in his ear? And underneath it is, like, a picture of, like, a trout or something and, like a shiny lure.
Getting the fucking...
I was like, the internet wins every time.
Oh, my gosh. All right, so the draft's approaching, baby.
It is.
The draft's approaching. Draft will be here next fucking month, bro.
25th, I believe. April
25th. Next month. Man,
Thursday I'm making up some that Thursday I'm making some ribs. I'm already working on
first
setting.
Round.
Yep,
I'll have to come through.
We'll make some ribs.
I'll have to come through for sure. But mock draft, first five picks. We wanted to give you guys a little taste of what we think is going to happen in the first five picks of the draft.
I'm down.
So the picks are draft order. Chicago Bears got the number one pick via Panthers. Commanders have the second pick.
Via sucking.
Patriots have the third pick.
Via
sucking.
Cardinals.
Cardinals have the fourth pick. And the Los Angeles Chargers have pick number five. All five of these teams need offensive help.
Yes, they do.
Three of these teams need a quarterback.
Yes, they do. The first three.
So, at the end of the day, me and you know that three quarterbacks are going 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
And we all know who's going number one.
We all know who's going number four.
So we can just both agree that Caleb Williams is going number one to the Bears.
I think undoubtedly Caleb Williams is going to the Bears. I got a reel dropping.
Yeah, save that take. Save that take.
I got a reel dropping about him tomorrow.
Yep.
So make sure y'all follow the page and y'all check that out because it will be dropping tomorrow morning. But I think undoubtedly Caleb Williams is the number one overall pick tomorrow or April 25th.
I agree. Number two, Washington Commanders.
Here's the tricky
situation. This is a toss-up. This is a toss-up because I could see them going both remaining top two quarterbacks. Either one. But in my humble opinion, I think it's going to be Drake May.
I'm not sure. A lot of places I've been seeing has Jaden Daniels pegged to them, which I think they might go. But I could see Drake May going number two as well.
For some reason, I think people have this, he's the safest pick quarterback-wise in the draft. People have that niche of him being the safest pick because he's not going to be a stud. He's not going to be a Patrick Mahomes, but he has the capability of being a winning quarterback in the NFL. That's the what I've read on him. So I think that with a team like Washington, you got a new owner, new ownership. You got a new head coach and Dan Quinn, who's a defensive-minded coach. In my opinion, I think that Washington kind of takes that advice and they pick the safest pick in their opinion. That's why I think it's going to be Drake May, realistically. So that's what I think is going to happen.
That's a good take. Well, so I guess we'll see there, but we're still pretty similar.
It's spec, yep. Number three, which I hope this happens, is Jaden Daniels, in my opinion. Patriots picking Jaden Daniels. Heisman Trophy winner. Have I seen mock drafts where they're taking J.J. McCarthy at three? Yeah, I have. Matter of fact, Daniel Jeremiah just posted one 2 days ago. Talk about J.J. McCarthy going four to the Vikings and them trading up.
So I'm going to give you a little speculation right here. Since I don't have to throw this on a reel, I personally think that Washington is going to take Jaden Daniels because they already took Sam Howell and they had bad luck with a North Carolina quarterback already.
That's a great point.
If that happens, I'm not 100% sold on Drake May because he kind of did bad later on in the season for UNC.
Drake May reminds me of Mac fucking Jones. He reminds me of Mac Jones so much.
I can see y'all taking J.J. McCarthy over Drake May, and Drake May may be falling.
Listen, I would love that. Honestly, I would not care if we reached for Drake May. J.J. McCarthy. Patriots fans might not like it.
Well, at this point, what is really reaching if it's your guy?
Right?
Because I think that...
I don't think he's going to last the first round.
I think Jaden Daniels might quite possibly be the most interesting quarterback prospect in this draft.
I agree.
If I was the Chicago Bears, I might take him over Caleb.
I agree.
If you guys have... If those two guys who I think are the clear top two quarterbacks, if those guys are gone and you feel that you like J.J. better than Drake May, y'all better pull that trigger.
I agree. Dude, J.J. shined at the combine. He shined. He looked great.
He does just enough with his feet.
But, bro, that's the thing. When you're on a run-heavy offense, like he was at Michigan, you don't get a really chance to show your arm off.
Yeah.
So, and he showed his arm off at the combine, and I'm sure he'll do that at the pro day as well. But I like J.J. McCarthy. I would love for the Patriots to take him.
Okay.
And honestly, you know what I'd like even more, Craig? I'd like the Patriots to draft one of the two top receivers in Harrison or Neighbors and then trade back up into the first round and get J.J. McCarthy. But like I said,
that might be tough.
I seen Daniel Jeremiah make a mock draft yesterday talking about the Vikings trading to the fourth pick and taking J.J. McCarthy four.
The only reason why I say relax, because with the amount of quarterbacks that are going to get taken. There are going to be some guys that would probably be first-round picks in normal drafts that will fall to the second round. And guess who has a third pick in the second round? You guys. So somebody like, honestly, a guy like Keon Coleman might drop to you guys, who's a big, like, Mike Evans kind of receiver.
I would love to have him or the dude from Texas.
Yep.
Like, he's supposed to be really good.
Yep.
So I'd love to have him at that third pick.
And maybe he's even somebody that can drop to you guys.
I would love it. I would love to have him. And there's still speculation that we're in on T. Higgins still and on a trade for him. And it looks like Brandon Ayuk wants to go to the damn Steelers.
You're talking about Xavier Worthy, by the way.
Is that from Texas?
Yep.
Okay. But it looks like Brandon Ayuk wants to go to the Steelers. He motherfucker tagged Mike Tomlin on Twitter the other day talking about, hey, they say we look alike. And who knows? That could just be saying, oh, I heard that we look alike. But I don't know. I feel like the Steelers are building up something special over there. They're building up a really talented team, in my opinion.
And so with 4 and 5, I think we're going to kind of agree on this. I think it's going to be, we'll see wide receiver.
Back to back, yeah.
Because I think it's clear cut.
Which one receiver is going to go first? I don't know. Because people are saying that Neighbors is better than Marvin Harrison Jr. Well,
what's hurting Harrison is he's not doing any of the – he didn't do the combine. He's not doing the pro day. He's like, just watch the tape. And I think that cocky attitude, maybe his neighbor's there.
Sounds a lot like who?
Caleb Williams. But Marvin Harrison is also Marvin Harrison, the senior. One, didn't he just make this? No, he got snubbed this year.
Yeah.
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Or
Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame. But he got a good lineage. So I think it's probably going to end up being Harrison at number 4, then probably Neighbors at 5, because they just lost Mike Williams and Keenan Allen over there. So they need somebody for Justin Herbert to throw to.
Yeah, they got to have somebody, man. And they lost Austin Eckler, too. That whole offense is just gonna be completely different. Depleted. And granted, Josh Palmer is not a bad choice. And then who knows with the kid from TCU. We're not going to just classify him as a bust. The debate could still be out. He could still be a really good player for them.
I think he had some
injuries. That's why they let Mike Williams and Keenan Allen go, because they thought he's going to be so good and they could hold on to him. He could be the next Mike Williams. They're very similar.
We'll see.
They're very similar.
We'll see.
So Caleb Williams, you want to give your take on Caleb Williams before we get out of here?
No, it's going to be on my reel tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
STLR Media. Make sure y'all check us out on Facebook. Make sure y'all check us out on
TikTok. So those are our 5 picks. Those are our 5 picks. We can give you a definite on 4 and 5, because it's going to be receiver, in our opinions.
It's going to be interchangeable.
Yeah,
one of those two guys will go.
You got two teams who need offensive help.
If Neighbors go first, Harrison's going second. If Harrison goes first, Neighbors is going second.
Yep.
In that slot right there.
Absolutely. That was a good show, buddy.
Hey, I and you know what? My boy Eddie put out a reel yesterday saying that Jackson Powers Johnson, the offensive lineman from Oregon, is being speculated. I know somebody that we brought in, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He could be somebody that goes to pick 26 if that happens.
O-line
is not the sexy pick, but that's who I want.
Nah, build them trenches up, baby. Build them trenches up, man.
But it has definitely been a great show. Any final shout-outs?
Shout out to God, man. That's all I can tell you.
You my
it's
boy,
been a
Blue.
Great week, man. It's been a great week. I'm excited to finish this week. Going to a Valspar Tournament Golf Championship this Sunday in Innisbrook.
Nice.
So I'm excited. I got a busy weekend. Got a little bit of soccer tournament and not a tournament, but a game. But
be safe in your travels.
Absolutely.
And shout out to all our fans that make this possible.
Absolutely, man.
For Derek Fugers, I'm your boy High C. Peace out. You know what it is. What it is, ho. What's up? Hey.